Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a big season for the Two-Tone Blue.
We're going to let the past do the talking.
It's time to break it all down with Chase McCabe and ESPN's Teron Davenport. This is Chase and TD.
It's time to go eat, baby.
On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Oh, yeah, we are all over today. Welcome in, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe in the Music City. Teron Davenport in Beantown. He is at WEEI in Boston as the Titans will take on the Patriots in the wild card round tomorrow night. TD, what is up, my man?
Hey, man, listen, I got one thing to say. Let's go! I'm hyped, baby. I'm hyped. Ready to roll. Let's do this, man.
You have been hyped all week for this game. And to be honest with you, so have I, but maybe not to your level. But I can tell you are feeling it. You are ready to rock. You're not even playing in this thing, Teron.
I don't know what it is, but it was just something about this. I caught a vibe, and man, I had a 5:45 a.m. flight today. And let me tell you something. Last night, I couldn't go to sleep. I got up. I had to do push-ups and just get all this energy out of me. Bruh, I'm hyped, man. I'm hyped. I listened to let's go, man. Let's go. I'm tired of talking about it. Let's go, man. I'm ready to do this show, man. I'm so excited.
Too.
It's Yeah, man.
Let's kick it off with this. We don't do this a lot on Chase and TD, but we actually have some holdover calls, and Adam wants to weigh in on the Titans and Patriots. So, Adam, lead us off. Teron is hyped. He's ready to go. Can you bring it too?
That's exactly how I feel, dude. All right, so the Preds in the Winter Classic, that was the buildup, right? And they let me down so much that I needed something to pull me out of the ditch. Teron did it, man. I'm going to go ahead and give a 31-13 Tennessee blowout.
Whoa!
They can't score, man. They got one dude. He's 5'9" and he's beat up. They got nobody. So, yeah, we're going to smoke him, dude. I have not been this excited about the Titans offense specifically in like 15 years, man. So, yeah, Tropical Storm Henry blowing through, man. That's some legit stuff, man. It's coming.
Well, hey, appreciate the call, Adam. You guys are getting me hyped too.
Hey,
ready
look,
for
man.
This thing. Tropical or Winter Storm Henry, I think he wears 22.
You know what? My man Adam is speaking with his chest. You know what I'm saying? He's speaking with his chest. Now, I'm not going to go that far. We're going to say the prediction for later in the show. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm on the same page as Adam. And yeah, you're right. Tropical Storm Henry is coming. And look, man, second team all pro. Hey, did you see his fit? Did you see the fit he had on?
I did not. I have not seen it yet.
It was like, I don't like a magenta plum type of color suit. He had some fresh sneaks on. He's subscribing to the look good, play good school of thought. So it's going to be a big game for Henry. And look, man, it's his birthday too.
Yeah, there's some magic. There's just some magic in the air with DH22 right now. So we have to look forward. We go back. How did the Titans get to this point? They're 9-7 on the year. They punched their ticket to the wild card with a win last weekend in Houston, which is a place that they haven't won at in a very long time, Teron. I believe it was 2011 was the last time they got a victory in Houston. But they go in and they take care of business. And a lot of that had to do with the big dog, Derrick Henry. Over 200 yards rushing. He is the rushing king for 2019. And as you mentioned, he gets named a second team All-Pro earlier today.
Yeah. I mean, what more can you say about Derrick Henry, man, and what he did? Look at that December, right? Just all of the yards, 6 touchdowns. What was it? Over 540 yards rushing. Again, he pushed his way to the rushing title. Little nugget for you, right? Derrick Henry didn't lead the league in rushing at any point until the last game of the season.
That's so crazy.
You know the last person to do that?
No.
Barry Sanders.
Wow.
All right. So, look, man, you talk about yards after contact. He has darn near 1,000 yards after contact. Second half yards, over 900 yards in the second half. Look, man, the theory's proven. The more you give this man the rock, the better he gets. You know what I'm saying? And you mentioned King Henry. I don't know if you saw the post I did on Derrick Henry that went up this morning, but I was able to talk to him about some of the things that motivate him. He has a superstition. Every single game, before he goes out, he listens to a song called King by Meek Mill.
That gets him fired up.
That's what gets him fired up, and it's fitting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you can't, but, I mean, Derrick Henry, a huge part of this. I mean, a major part of it, but I think it's safe to say that the Titans now have a big three in Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown, you know, should definitely be – I think he's the offensive rookie of the year. I don't really think there's a conversation there.
No conversation.
Ryan Tannehill, I mean, he got hot and broke some Titans records for the month of December. I mean, he surpassed Steve McNair for yardage and everything in December. So this offense is clicking on all cylinders. And look, as they show Derrick Henry's outfit on NFL Network right now, I mean, he's looking good.
I told you, look good, play good.
Yep, exactly. But they are going up against one of the best defenses, and I'm not scared of that. I'm looking forward to it. I want the best to go up against the best.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? When you're going up against one of the best defenses, especially a defense like the Patriots, what do you need? You need to be balanced. Why? Yep. Because they're going to look to take away something. Okay, that's no problem. They have what I call the triplets, right? You got Ryan Tannehill, led the league in passer rating. A.J. Brown, offensive rookie of the year, right? This is a guy who had four receptions of 50 yards or more. Touchdowns, that is. Last guy to do that was Randy Moss in 1998. He had five. This is a guy who was over 1,000 yards as a rookie. Last Titan to do that, Ernest Givens. You remember the shimmy he used to give him, you know, after his touchdowns. That was in 1986. I say all that to say you pair that with Derrick Henry. Now, you're going to have something taken away. So you have to go to something else. But the key to this is the balance on offense. That's what you have to have. And it's something that Mike Vrabel actually talked about when I asked him about them having, quote unquote, the triplets. I want to go to Mike Vrabel's audio because he has some interesting comments about the balance on offense.
Every week we just try to identify what we think we can do well and what gives us the best chance to win. And then ultimately you're going to have to make changes during the game and you trust that the players can adapt, and sometimes these plays that we draw up as coaches, they don't always end up looking like they look in the game, but it's the players that have confidence in each other and a belief in each other that whether we're running the football or you know, we're passing it, that if we protect the quarterback or give them some time, that guys will be able to get open. So you know, I think a lot of that is based on the players and their ability to go out and perform.
Head coach Mike Vrabel on the balance earlier this week. And look, this is something they haven't had in a while. I mean, they've had two-thirds of it at times. I mean, there were times where Mariota, you could see the promise, and he was playing well, and that was working. And then you had DeMarco Murray, and then later on Derrick Henry. The receiver part is kind of what they've been missing for a while. Now, Corey Davis has you know, last year was almost 1,000 yards. He's had his ups and downs in his short career, but now they can honestly say they have the triplets, and if you take one away, I mean, it's like you plug up one hole and another one opens up.
Yeah, and we'll get into a matchup later that I think really is one that's going to work in the Titans' favor. But here's the thing. You're pairing that offense with a tough physical defense. And Dean Pease, right? You know how I feel about Dean Pease. That's the wizard, right? He's the guy that puts it all together. He gives each of the players freedom to make different plays and do the things that they need to do. So I think when you look at everything on a big picture level, this team is what I call pack and play. You could pack them up and play them anywhere. And that, I think, is what really is going to work for this team up here in Foxborough. Look, man. It's looking good for them, but obviously you don't want to go into a game being overly confident. I like the confidence that they have, but they understand that, you know, it's a huge challenge.
Yeah, and you bring up Dean Pees. We had on the midday show, we had Matt Chatham, you know, former linebacker, played for the Patriots for a long time. He's now with Nesson, does media work. And I asked him about Dean Pees because when he was with the Patriots, Dean Pees was his linebackers coach along with Mike Vrabel. And he said that the smartest thing that Mike did when he put his staff together was calling Dean Pees and getting Dean Pees to come run the defense. That was the wisest move that he made.
No doubt about it. And it's definitely wise. It's wisdom, right? And it's confidence. In order to have a guy that you know is established that will make that defense tick, you have to have confidence because here's the thing. You never want to be the smartest guy in the room. Coach Vrabel's not the smartest guy in the room. Dean Pees is. So to have the confidence to take that step back and allow Dean Pees to come in and put things together and hit the ground running, it was really good of Coach Vrabel.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And look, I'll take another thing for this game. It's a playoff game. If you lose, you're done. If you win, you play another game. Everybody knows that. But it's against the Patriots. And you can't tell me for one second that deep down in Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and Logan Ryan and Deion Lewis and Dean Pees and anyone that's stepped foot in that building in Foxborough, there's not a little bit of something extra of, man, wouldn't it feel good to knock the GOAT and Bill Belichick out in the first round?
No doubt about it. And I guarantee you that's on their mind. They won't say it to us, but I rest assured they're thinking it.
Yeah, absolutely. Teron Davenport is at WEEI in Boston. Chase McCabe back here. Chase and TD, when we come back, we will talk to ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter Mike Reese. We'll get his thoughts on the Patriots side of things. We do that next. Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
This is Rashawn Evans, linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. You listen to Chase and TD. All eyes on me.
Back here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport. It is Chase and TD. TD is actually up in Boston already, thanks to WEEI for letting us use their studio. So, yeah. Teron, let's bring in Mike Reese, your colleague at ESPN. He covers the Patriots for them. Mike, how are you?
Chase, TD, great to talk with you. TD, welcome to town, man.
Thank you so much, man. It's great to have the boss on the line with me. I appreciate you.
All right, Mike.
Should have had you over for dinner, TD.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, man. Maybe breakfast tomorrow.
My bad.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good.
Well, Mike, let's start it with this question because I look at the Patriots and really I'll say the last handful of games of the season, and I don't feel like they're playing like the usual Patriots. Now, I understand that, you know, the receiving core has been an issue. Julian Edelman being their best one has been hurt. But when you look at Tom Brady, what are you seeing from the quarterback right now? Do you feel like he's still playing at the same level you expect this time of year out of him? Or do you think that there's something a little bit off?
You know, Chase, it would depend which snapshot of the season you wanted to look at. Like if you were to take me back to week 16 when they beat the Bills, in probably their best game of the season, I would tell you, like, he looks like the same Tom Brady that I've seen over the years. But then if you were to say, well, give me the next week against the Dolphins when they, you know, had a first-round bye, if they just win the game at home and Tom throwing pick sixes and missing throws that I would say he normally makes in his sleep, I'd say, yeah, something's not right, you know, with Tom. So a little more inconsistent than I'm used to seeing, and part of that might be a lack of comfort in the players around him. You know, we can talk all day. Gronk isn't here, and, you know, Julian Edelman was banged up a little bit. The offensive line has had some guys in and out and just hasn't really consistently been as comfortable as I've seen in the past.
So you bring up Julian Edelman. I know he is on the injury report as questionable, but I've seen it's looking like he's going to be good to go. But, what percentage is Julian Edelman going into this game?
So he's been dealing with knee and shoulder injuries. He said yesterday that he actually feels better than he has in the last couple weeks. And really, it's not a question on if he'll play. I know they list him as questionable. He's going to be there. It's really more how effective he can be. And I don't think physically what we're seeing from his production, there's really anything holding him back maybe other than, you know, the catch radius at times. If balls are up over his head, maybe it's a little harder for him to make those catches. More than anything, Chase, what defenses are doing is is really the issue more than his, you know, physical status right now. They're doubling him because he's the go-to guy, and they're forcing Tom to go to other places, and that's led to some of that, you know, discomfort that I've seen in Tom not feeling as comfortable as he's been in the past.
Now, Mike, with those other places that Brady is being forced to go to, how has James White really come on and established himself as a pass catcher?
So it's interesting, TD, because they'll you know, vary their game plan from week to week. And some weeks, I call it like a James White week, where the third down back or the passing back, however you want to sort of classify him, is sort of your lead back because you're going to make it more of a passing game. And then other weeks, you know, his snap count will be way down, and they'll feature more of the traditional running back in Sony Michel and maybe even Rex Burkhead, who's looked pretty good the last couple weeks. So a lot of that's going to depend on, you know, what offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels wants to do. White's their best pass-protecting running back, so if they're worried about some of the different pressures that might come their way, you might be more likely to see him back there. But I would say he's probably number two, to simplify it, after Edelman. He's probably the next guy if you were to make a list of, you know, what's my Tom Brady trust level with the guys around him. He's right after Edelman.
So then to switch it to the other side of the football, the games that I've watched, it seems like Kyle Van Noy, he always comes up with a big play. What about him and his defense? What has he meant to that defense? Because it's interesting, right? He was in Detroit, and the guy wasn't doing much of anything. Yeah. But here it is. He's in New England, and he's balling.
Yeah, so Kyle Van Noy was a second-round pick of the Lions, and he's sort of one of those tweeners, you know, almost. And I'm not apples to apples, but sort of like a Harold Landry, just to sort of drive it, bring it home to Nashville, like a guy that, depending on your defense, you know, might be like a light 4-3 defensive end, or is he sort of that hybrid 3-4 outside backer? You know, maybe you, depending on what you do, like, you might view him differently, is what I'm trying to say. And I think in Detroit, he was sort of miscast as sort of like an off-the-ball linebacker in a 4-3 defense. And here in New England, he's more of like an on-the-line 3-4 outside linebacker, sort of that hybrid guy who can do a lot of different things, very good setting the edge in the run game. And so they do rely on him a lot. Like, when their defense is playing at its best, their linebackers are sort of the heartbeat of that unit. It's Kyle Van Noy, it's Dante Hightower, it's Jamie Collins. John Simon is an underrated sort of lunch pail type of guy. So that's a real good observation on Van Noy and his value to this defense.
Talking to Mike Reese of ESPN, he covers the Patriots for them. So I don't take much away from past matchups. Like last season, the Titans beat the Patriots here, but I feel like the formula of how they did it is probably the same. I mean, Corey Davis went off that day. Derrick Henry, of course, it started to come into his own, but not quite to the level that he is now, of course, being the leading rusher in the league. Bill Belichick is notorious for being able to take weapons out of an opposing offense. When you look at the Titans, where do you think his focus lies? Is it Henry? Is it A.J. Brown? Is it somewhere else?
Well, I think it has to start with Derrick Henry. I you know, first and foremost, and just because if you can, they always talk about that. It's very sort of football 101 stuff, but they want to try to make the other team one-dimensional, and especially, you know, and I'm looking at this from the outside, and you guys can tell me if what I see is accurate because you've followed it a lot closer than me. I mean, it looks like the running game is sort of where it starts for the Titans, and they can do a lot of things off that. And so, to me, this is no secret. Devin McCourty, the Patriots captain and safety, says that's where we always start, you know, is against the run. And so, to me, that's the plan. And they've talked a lot this week about trying to get multiple hats to the ball just because he's so big, Henry is. And they feel pretty confident. It didn't look good last week against the Dolphins, but they feel pretty confident on their guys in the back end to match up coverage-wise. Stephon Gilmore was just voted today as a unanimous all-pro selection at corner. So I feel like they trust their back end in a lot of man coverage, and then, you know, that'll allow them to devote some more resources in the box against the run.
How much should be made about the storyline? And I think it's a maybe not even a secondary storyline. It's on down the list, but just the connections between the Titans and the Patriots with Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and some of the players. Is that something that's been discussed at all up there in Boston?
You know, maybe a little bit. I've heard some of the players asked about it, but I'll tell you where I think it's in. It has some value, and probably more on the Titans side. You know, you referenced, Chase, last year's game, Titans-Patriots. What I remember about that game more than any, like, scheme or anything like that, like, the Patriots felt like they got manhandled at the line of scrimmage, both sides in that game. They were tired. That was their first game right before their bye week. You know, they've been about 10 straight weeks. So I think when Mike Vrabel can, like, stand up in front of his Titans team and say, look, I was in that meeting room from 2001 to 2008, and let me tell you what Bill Belichick is telling his team right now, because I lived it. I sat in that seat. He's telling them right now that it starts at the line of scrimmage, and if we don't win the line of scrimmage, we're not winning the game. And I think when he can say that like that, it – how does it not have added credibility to the players? Players are always going to listen to a coach, but a coach that literally sat in the meeting room and listened to it? Or here's another one. You heard Vrabel this week. The Patriots are plus 21 in the turnover differential this year. If you want to go up to Foxborough and win for the first time in the playoffs since 2013, you can't be in the minus. I'm telling you, because I've heard it from 2001 to 2008. That's what Belichick's saying. Like, think about that. If you're a Titans player and you're hearing that, doesn't that sort of, you know, you process it, but don't you process it that much more?
No doubt about it. That's an excellent point. And ironically, on Wednesday when Vrabel spoke, what did he harp on? Turnovers. And he mentioned how the last time the Patriots lost, it was to the Ravens, and yep, it was 3-0 as far as the yep turnovers are concerned. Excellent point yep there. I yep was always taught coming up to show love for my big dog. So I have to ask you about the offensive line. And yeah, you look at Isaiah Wynn, Ted Karras, these guys weren't there last year. How yeah is that offensive line playing with these two new pieces throughout this season?
You know, TD, it has been an evolving picture, and it was not good early, and it's probably the best it's been all season right now. One of the things that they do well when they can get their offense going, those interior linemen, particularly the guards, Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason on screen plays, they do a great job, you know, getting down the field, very athletic. Ted Karras is a backup center that had to step in week one because their starting center, David Andrews, University mm-hmm of Georgia alum, who is a captain, you know, unexpectedly lands on injured reserve with blood clots in his lungs. So they were piecing it together. They had guys in and out all year. Isaiah Wynn missed half the year on injured reserve, but they finally got some continuity within the last couple weeks, and it's actually looked better. And so, you know, that's a positive for the Patriots heading into this game, because I would say, you know, prior to, let's say, 4 weeks ago, I would have said with this offensive line and the way it's playing, it's sort of paralyzing what the Patriots are trying to do offensively.
I saw your report earlier today on ESPN. I think it was on Get Up, where you were talking yeah about Tom Brady, right, and this potentially being his last home game as a yeah Patriot. Mm. Can you expand upon that? Can you share some of the your perspective on that with our listeners?
Definitely, TD. There's a couple things in play. Like, this is the first time that you could ever say Tom Brady was entering a game as a member of the Patriots where it could be his last home game with the team. He's never made it to the end of his contract before, and the Patriots also cannot assign him the franchise tag as part of the reworked deal they did back in August. And I talked to someone directly involved in that situation, and it's not like there's been any ongoing conversations to extend the contract since August. So it truly is, TD, a wait-and-see type of situation as to what's going to happen, and no one is tipping their hand or they're showing their cards as to what they think, what they want to happen. Like, Brady isn't saying, I'm definitely back. Bill Belichick isn't saying, I definitely want Tom back. We know where the owner, Robert Kraft, stands. Like, he would love to keep it together, but there's a lot of dynamics in play here that some people think Tom might want to try to play somewhere else, and they're just speculating that, but, you know, he hasn't ruled it out. And some look at Bill Belichick's history and say, well, he's moved on from players in the past, like it wouldn't shock us if he moves on from Tom. So those are some of the dynamics in play. And the one thing I would just add for the Titans, just to know what type of environment they're coming into, it could be a pretty charged up crowd, especially if the Patriots get up early, with Brady specifically in mind, knowing that they might be witnessing the type of historic night, you know, if it is his last home game with the team.
Okay, so Mike, what's more likely? He plays somewhere else or he retires?
Oof, this is a tough question because, you know, with the family situation, married, he's got, you know, three kids. I it wouldn't shock me if he says it's time to be dad. At the same time, like, I look at him and I see a guy who believes there's unfinished business. So that is really tough. And not knowing, you know, how this season would finish, if they win a Super Bowl, does that change the decision-making? I guess I'll say he will retire before playing somewhere else, but I got to tell you, like, that is a total gut instinct. It's not based on any concrete facts, and I don't feel real decisive in saying it.
Man, that's a great way to end it. Hey, Mike, we appreciate it. Really, really good stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great night. TD, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Always.
All right, Mike Reese, he is the ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter. Teron, there is a lot to unpack from that, and I didn't know you were going to go there, but I love the ending because I think it's a question on everybody's mind, and I didn't really think about it that way, that it could be his last home game, depending on how this goes. So we'll discuss that and the mystique of the New England Patriots. We'll do that next. Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chase and TD, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe in Nashville at our Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And Teron Davenport is up at WEEI in Boston as he gets ready for tomorrow night's game against the Patriots. So I want to ask you the same question I asked Mike Reese just a few minutes ago. What do you think is more likely, Tom Brady retires or he plays somewhere else?
Ooh, I say he retires, man. He has a beautiful wife, wonderful children that he, you know, needs to be there for. So I think he retires and he moves on from being the greatest quarterback ever to working to be the greatest father ever. I think that's his goal, and that's my opinion.
I think he's more likely to play somewhere else. I don't know. I mean, look, if the Tannehill thing hadn't worked out like it did, I would have said here, I think the Titans are sticking with 17, as they should. But, look, I don't know. I mean, does he want to go to L.A.? They could be looking for a quarterback there with the Chargers. Play a year there, nice weather. I mean, that wouldn't stink. So I don't know. But it's funny to me that Mike said he's got unfinished business, and I looked at Calvin and I said, what? What unfinished business does he have? He is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time, and he's accomplished everything.
You know, I tell you, if there is any unfinished business, I'll tell you what it is. If he continues to play and he goes somewhere else, it will be because he wants to show that he could win without Belichick.
Yeah,
I think
true.
That would be the one situation that would make him continue to play. The Chargers, that's an excellent team to mention, Chase, because I could see him going there having the guys, right? You got the Williams brothers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got what's my man number 13, man? That Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
You got him. I almost said Kyle Allen. wrong situation. But
that threw me off.
Yeah, they're in good shape, the Chargers. They just need a guy to be back there and orchestrate things. So I can see that, but I think he retires.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Now, the mystique of the Patriots and going into Foxborough, a tough place to play. The Titans have done that before. They've gone up there. But the game last year that they won was here. So how do the Titans overcome getting past that mystique?
I think what Mike said definitely applies, right? I think being able to have a guy that could go in there and say, I've been in that locker room, for 8 years. I know what makes this team tick. I think that just has a psychological advantage for the Titans. I think that their style of play, I mean, it's pack and play, man. They run the football well. The passing game, because we always mention the elements. Well, here's the thing that's interesting about the elements. That passing game can work in the elements because you're not chucking the ball down the field all the time. Most of what Tannehill is doing is shorter passes, and you're relying on your guys to get yards after the catch. The yak monster himself, right?
Yeah.
That's really what it leads to. I mean, this dude averaged, what, like 20 yards a catch? And most of it was through yards after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right, and they have the weapons. And I look at this Titans team, and I don't think they're worried about the mystique. I really don't. I mean, they've already gotten past it one time last year. And I think, too, that Mike Vrabel, as you said, he knows that. He's been in those meetings. But I think there's something more to the fact that he was a player there. He wasn't a coach. Yeah. Dean Pease was a coach. But Mike Vrabel was a player, and there's just a completely different perspective of playing for Bill Belichick rather than coaching with him.
Chase, you hit the nail on the head. I think that's 100% correct. And it's just you're able – there's a different connection to the environment when you're playing, a different emotional connection than when you're coaching. So that's definitely correct. And, you know, to get back to the elements, I was talking to A.J. at his locker on yesterday, and I looked in his bag, and I was looking at his gloves, and we were kind of going back and forth. I was surprised. His gloves have a leather palm. And I was like, man, you're going to use that up there in the rain? And he said he had a fresh pair. But see, here's the thing about leather gloves. When it gets wet out there, it gets – those gloves get a little bit slippery. So we were talking about – taping the fingers and doing that old Tim Brown look. I was telling him that's what I used to do in the rain. But, look, man, I think that receiving core is going to be ready to go. I really do. But then above all of that, the important thing is to keep it all in perspective, right? Adoree Jackson, he's going to be back. Talked to Adoree yesterday, and I asked him specifically, this is a big game. This is not only a big game, but this is your first game playing – in 3 or 4 games, how do you go about not going out there and burning all your energy pregame? Because you know how it is, man. Before you're doing something, you're just hype, right? You know, so he said he had to keep it in perspective. And the same thing goes for Ryan Tannehill. When I asked Tannehill after the Texans game about finally being in a playoff, because in 2016, he put the Dolphins in a position to play in the playoffs. Unfortunately for him, he had a partially torn ligament in his knee and he couldn't finish the job. Matt Moore had to. So he has never played in a playoff game. He said this is something that he's always looked forward to. He said this is why you play the game, right? You play the game for these type of situations because the whole objective is to go to a Super Bowl. And this is the next step. So when Tannehill spoke on Wednesday, I asked him about that again, about keeping things in perspective. This is what he had to say when I asked him that.
Sticking true to what's got me to this point, you know, being prepared, going into the game, being fully prepared for the situations that can arise, make the adjustments within the game. It's a team that obviously plays at a very high level on defense and always will throw something at you that you haven't seen on tape or change something up on you, so you have to be able to adjust within the game. But at the end of the day, it's football. You just got to go play and execute.
Ryan Tannehill on Wednesday. You know what I think so interesting about that part of this, Teron, is I believe that not knowing what to expect is actually a good thing. I think Ryan Tannehill not knowing what to expect in a playoff game because he's never played in one, who cares? I know experience is important and all of that, but the way he's been playing as of late and the way he's finished the season, that's all he needs in my mind.
Yeah, and you're right. And I think that's why the start of this game is so important, right? It is crucial for this team to get off to a fast start. And, you know, that's the key. It's funny, I was talking to Coach Fisher, Jeff Fisher, yesterday for a piece that I'm doing coming up. And he asked me about the team, and we were talking about
Teron,
his playoff
experience.
What do
you think about the Titans? What do you think about them?
But he said that when he was coaching, the most important game for him was the first game in the playoffs. So make no mistake about it, this is a huge game for Mike Vrabel. But what Coach Fisher also said is once they got rolling and they got into that game, he said everything just kind of fell into perspective.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Did you ask Jeff Fisher if he's gotten any calls from Cleveland yet?
He actually, you know, I did talk to him about what he wants to do. He said he's interested in coaching. He was like, man, I just want to coach,
right,
whether it be college or NFL. He said, unfortunately, the interest hasn't been there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see what happens. The guy is a leader, right? He's someone that could come in and help right the ship in the right situation. And that's what also he said. It had to be the right situation.
I honestly think, and I know he's not going to get a look at it, but I think Cleveland would be a good fit for him because he's been in situations like that before. He knows how to deal with questionable ownership and decisions like that. And I think he could handle the personalities on that team.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the Browns, they want that guy up here, right? That's calling the shots on offense.
Yeah. They want Josh McDaniels. So you mentioned the fast start that the Titans need. We'll discuss that when we come back because I completely agree with you that is so important for them to have a fast start, and they've struggled at times at that this year. It's Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am here in Nashville. Teron is up in Boston getting hyped. He's been hyped all week. He doesn't have to get hyped.
I might have to get paper and put it over the windows, man, because I'm in this studio standing up shirtless.
Did you rip it off?
I'm not doing that. But I got all my hype music, man. I got Young Buck, 50, LOX, man. We're bringing it all, man. Pop, you know what I'm saying? It's time to turn it up.
I listened to some hype music right before we came on the air. I was getting hype. I was having a good day. So, you know, I felt it. So... but the fast start, you brought that up in the last segment, Teron, and that is something we've discussed on this show, and we've discussed it when you've come in on the midday show. They've had some slow starts. Now, they've had opportunities, and, you know, we've seen them miss field goals, or there was a turnover or something to that effect. But to beat the New England Patriots in Foxborough, you got to have a fast start.
No doubt about it. And I tell you what, that start, it begins with the coin toss, man. Tails never fails, right? You call tails, you win the toss, you defer. Why? Defense sets the tone. If you don't believe me, look at last year's game. Kenny Vaccaro, early in the game, came up and walloped James White, and next thing you know, the team, they were rolling, right? So that's huge. You have to set the tone. For the Titans, the best thing to do would be to have the defense force the Patriots, maybe not into a three and out. If they can, that's great. But to force them to punt by some way, force them to punt, get a nice return, work their way down the field, at the very least get a field goal. Why is that so important? That takes the crowd away.
Yeah.
The best way, if you want Gillette Stadium to be quiet as a church mouse, what you need to do is take them away right away, immediately. And that's how you do that.
Well, what I want to hear along those lines is I want to hear the official go, the Titans have won the toss and elect to defer and then go out on defense and do exactly what you just said. I think that is the game plan. And then, you know, it starts with the big guy. I mean, Derrick Henry, it's how we let off the show. He had 32 carries last week. Does he need that many this week? Probably not, but it all starts with him, and you know that Bill Belichick is going to throw everything he has at Derrick Henry, but I feel like Henry is good enough to overcome that.
Yeah, and you know what the key to this rushing attack is? It's finding a way to get Derrick Henry into the alleys, right? We all know Derrick Henry is best when he's running outside and he's getting a full head of steam, aiming his shoulders at the line and getting upfield that way. So rest assured, the Patriots want to do everything they can to keep him from getting outside and getting where he needs to go in that alley and forcing these defensive backs to make business decisions, right? So I think you still want to look at that. And what Arthur Smith has done throughout the year, he's designed really nice ways to get the ball to Henry outside in that alley. But at the same time, knowing that that defense is going to be flowing that way to the outside, Derrick Henry really has to keep it in mind that there are design cutbacks in this zone scheme. And I tell you, dadgummit, if that defense is flowing and he's able to cut it back and he sees a crease, deuces.
Yeah.
And that's what he has to think and understand, because they're going to work to stop what he's done well all year.
I got a feeling on something, too, and with this Titans offense, because we've talked about Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, but I think there is another guy that is poised to make a big game-changing play, and that's 84. I just got a feeling about Corey Davis this week. And I'm not saying it's because they're going to take A.J. Brown out of the game or Derrick Henry. I just think he's hungry, and he's ready to make a play.
Hey, 84, his ribs are showing, bro.
Yeah.
His ribs are showing. And here's the thing. He had a pretty solid game last year against Stephon Gilmore. And
buck 25, I think.
Seven receptions. Yeah, buck 25 and a touchdown. And Gilmore was the one that traveled with him, right? He was the one that Gilmore traveled with. And I remember early from the start, man, they were working that deep cross. He got a 42-yard reception. Then he pulled it, got an pass interference. Here's the thing. I talked to Corey, and I asked him about that matchup. You know, and I said, look, man, you know, you seem to always have – your best games against the Patriots. I mean, four touchdowns he's had against them, or three. And he said that's the past. But then I asked him about that matchup with Gilmore, and he was very complimentary of Gilmore, right?
Yeah.
But then at the end, he looked right into my eyes, and he said, but I'll take our guys anytime. I said, I walked away, and I was like,
okay.
That's the dog I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
That's the dog I've been waiting for, man. So that's a good observation on your part as far as Corey Davis being a guy that could break out.
You know what the most humbling thing is for anybody? It doesn't have to be in sports. It's for anyone in any type of profession. When you've been someplace for a while and you start getting comfortable, in year three, kind of start getting comfortable. You know, you had a good year last year. Almost 1,000 yards. He had high expectations this year. When you get shown up by a rookie, it's humbling. But you know what else it does? It motivates you. Yeah, and that's his teammate. That's the guy on the other side of the field from him. But there's still competition.
Oh, without a doubt. That's an excellent point. There's definitely competition. You don't get to the NFL if you don't have that ultra competitive gene in your body, right? So rest assured, Corey Davis is happy as heck for A.J. Brown and what he's doing. But I know that there's something in there saying, yo, that was supposed to be me.
Right.
I'm supposed to be the one doing that. I'm supposed to be the one who did that. Right. Mm-hmm. Last year, he had over 900 yards.
Yeah.
He was on pace for 1,000 until, you know, the F-150 did what it did. So I get it, man. I get it. He definitely, you know, is looking to bring his best. I'm looking to see what it is he brings to the table. I think this is an excellent week for him, because I feel like a lot of the attention is going to go to A.J. Brown, right? A.J. Brown's going to be the guy that Gilmore's going with. So when they go man defense, look, J.C. Jackson, hey, Corey Davis, you got to give him that work.
Yeah.
You have to.
Well, and look, he's got to get open, and if he does, I think Tannehill will find him. We have in the notes, we have our grid that we do for the show. Get the game to the second half.
Yes.
I saw that, and I was like, yes, completely important, because I believe that this Titans team is built that, let's say, at some point, you know, the Patriots are leading 14-10 or something like that. You get the game into the second half, though. The Titans have shown all year that once they do that, I mean, that's when they can take over games. That's when things start to click. So I think if this thing is close when they start the second half, I really like the Titans' chances.
You get the game to the second half. And even in that situation you presented, 14-10, what do we say was key to this game? To the start. Deferring.
Yep.
So what does that mean? You get the ball back at halftime.
Yep.
That's a perfect opportunity. Last week, Derrick Henry, the Titans offense, 10 plays, and it resulted in a touchdown. You know who touched the ball that whole series? 22.
Mm-hmm.
That is, once again, an opportunity to shut things up. That's another opportunity to do that. So you're right. Get to the second half, and that's really when Derrick Henry really starts to come alive. And in addition to that, if you could get a lead, right, and the Titans just overall, they're a better team in the second half. They're just better offensively, defensively, special teams. I mean, they don't kick field goals anyway, so we can't even mention special teams. But, you know, they are
both
a better
teams have
team.
Had kicking issues. So.
Yeah, really, though. You know, they're a better team. So I think it's really crucial to get it to the second half because just for the year itself, if you look at some of the stats, right, the first half points per game for the Titans is a lot. They're a lot lower than the second half. So in the first half, they're 27th in the NFL, scoring 9.1 points per game.
He's Teron Davenport. He's at WEEI in Boston. Chase McKay back here in the Wholesale Inc. studios powered by RumbleOn.com. When we come back, we'll take a deeper dive into the Titans' offense and living up to the challenge. We do that next here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
From the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a big season for the two-tone blue.
We're going to let the past do the talking.
It's time to break it all down with Chase McCabe and ESPN's Teron Davenport. This is Chase and TD.
It's time to go eat, baby.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025 The Game.
Hour number two, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5, The Game. What's going on? Chase McCabe live at the Wholesale Inc. studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Teron Davenport is up in Boston already at WEEI. Appreciate them for letting us use their studio. Calvin Smith behind the glass. And Calvin, Teron, I got to tell you, Calvin was awesome this weekend in Dallas. I mean, we worked him to death. But you did a great job, so we're glad to both be back here on a Friday night, on a Freaky Friday with you.
Am I supposed to act like I'm surprised?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, we know that Calvin is the best.
I would be surprised if he didn't do the best job. I mean, look, man, I've spent almost 2 years with young Calvin, the young stunner, and he's been nothing but phenomenal, making my job easier. So I salute you.
Absolutely. So let's get back to the Titans and the Patriots Saturday night there in Foxborough. The offense has to live up to the challenge of going up against one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league. We've talked about some individual matchups, but Ryan Tannehill has to lead the charge when they take on Bill Belichick's defense.
Yeah, and here's the thing, man. Bill Belichick, let's talk about him for a little bit. And look at some of the things that he's done, right? Going all the way back to 1990, that Bills team, the K-Gun, they were ridiculous. But you know what happened in the Super Bowl? Belichick devised a way to stop them.
Yep.
The Rams team, oh, man, good gracious. And shout out to Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, both of which are up. They're finalists for the Hall of Fame, but this is an offense that had two Hall of Fame receivers. Oh, and they happen to have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame running back. Oh, and as I said before, you got to give love to the big dogs, a Hall of Fame left tackle. But Belichick stopped them. Here's the thing. Bill Belichick is no stranger to going against offenses that are at their best. So this Titans team is going to have to bring their A game, absolutely. But the thing that I like is a true competitor wouldn't want it any other way, right? A true competitor is going to crave going against the best. This is the number one total defense. Ryan Tannehill, you have to step up.
Yeah.
You have to have this defense bring the best out of you. Coincidentally, this is what Ryan Tannehill said when we got to speak to him before this game. So I want you to hear some of the thoughts from Ryan Tannehill on why he's looking forward to this opportunity.
I love playing these guys. You know, just the team as a whole. They're a quality team through and through. And they're going to, like I said, they're going to make you go out and play well to win. They're not going to give you anything. And as a competitor, you love that. You love having to go earn a victory. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's Ryan Tannehill on what he's expecting. And, you know, as I said earlier, TD, I mean, he's never played in a playoff game before, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I just think he goes in with the confidence that he has and how he ended the season. That's going to help him out. I mean, that's everything that you want. Now, to your point, he's got to take it from the level he's at now, which is pretty darn good, and now you go up a notch because that's how the playoffs work. And the deeper you go, the more levels that you have to go up. But I feel like Vrabel has been there as a player, so that's the message that's being delivered. I mean, he knows what it takes to win in the playoffs. The man has 3 Super Bowl rings as a player. So, you know, he's going to take some things that he learned in his playing career and help his guys. I think Ryan Tannehill looks at this as a golden opportunity, and he knows that he has to seize it.
When Belichick was on the conference call, he was very complimentary of Derrick Henry, but he was also complimentary of A.J. Brown. So what do you think in the passing game he's going to look to take away?
A.J. Brown.
Right. How do you think he's going to do that?
Stephon Gilmore.
Cat covers Stephon Gilmore. Well, look, here's the thing. You'll never hear me say that we're the best, right? I'll say we give you unique content, but you'll never hear me say that we're the best. I'll let the listeners decide that. But I will say this. No one else talked to A.J. Brown in February and asked him, how would you go about attacking Stephon Gilmore? Because here's the thing. A.J. Brown, before the draft, before he became an NFL player, he was a Patriots fan. You don't believe me? Check the internet. You'll see it's either IG or Twitter. He went crazy when they won the Super Bowl. He also was a very big fan of being a first-round pick. Guess who had the last chance to help him fulfill that part of his dream? It would be the New England Patriots. Guess what position they drafted?
Wide receiver.
Yes, N'Keal Harry, who is very talented. I will take nothing from him. But here's the thing. You can't tell me this game isn't personal for A.J. Brown. But that being said, knowing all of these things, right, knowing that he was a Patriots fan, knowing that Stephon Gilmore is a top corner, we decided to do a little role playing with A.J. Brown back in February. Calvin, hit it.
All right, we'll do it this way. You came up as a Patriots fan. We're going to role play a little bit. You break the huddle. It's 3rd and 7. You guys are down by 5. Obviously, you need 6 to win the game. It's 3rd and 7, 4th quarter. We're talking about 3 minutes left in the game. And you guys need that first down. You break the huddle, and you line up, and Stephon Gilmore is right over top of you. If you had it your way, what is the route you're running, and how are you setting Stephon Gilmore up on that route?
I would say I want the curl route at 13. We only need 6 yards. If he's playing inside shade, inside leverage, I just try to clear his hands as much as possible. Just sell the fade, but don't overrun him. Don't overrun him. You know what I'm saying? Not like run past him, but you got to kind of run even enough. You know, and sell the fade and drop my hips at like 13, 12 to 13 and throw him by. Just pack the ball back because I know he's coming because he's a great cornerback. But you can run that route a lot of ways. It just depends on how he plays you. We play outside leverage. You can release inside really quick, clear hands and push it, or you can stem. You can do a lot of things with that route. So that's why I would say that route at 13 and come back to the ball.
There you go. A.J. Brown, that was back in February.
Hey, look, man. Let me get this dust off my shoulders.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff right there, Teron.
And Calvin.
Yeah. Look, I think that's the formula, is it not?
Without a doubt, that's the formula, you know, when you have a guy like A.J. Brown, okay? And for those of you who haven't seen him in person, he's built like a basketball player. Mm-hmm. So you got the wide shoulders tapered down to a narrow waist. And the thing is with that, his body is naturally built for boxing out. So he's able to use his body to shield. Even a long corner like Gilmore is going to have trouble getting around him and knocking that ball down because AJ has long arms as well. But in addition to that, the big shoulders, the big body. So that's why the curl route works so well for him. And it's no coincidence that that's his favorite route. You could even look back on NFL films at the combine. Steve Smith was on the field. Steve, that's my guy, by the way. He was on the field at the combine, and he came over to A.J. Brown, and he was talking, and he said, "What's your favorite route?" And A.J. said, "The curl." And he was like, "Well, how would you stem it?" And he explained how he would stem it. What you have in A.J. Brown is a polished young player who is very talented and has the full picture from a mental standpoint.
Yeah, I see that, and I saw that very quickly. We actually talked to a reporter out of Oxford today because we were getting the latest on Mississippi State and the firing mm-hmm. Joe Moorhead. But as we wrapped up the interview, Darren, of course, brought up A.J. Brown and said, what have you seen out of him this year? Were you surprised that it, you know, he had the year that he did? And he was very quick to say was, no, not really. I mean, that's exactly what I thought he was going to do. And he referenced all the things that you brought up of AJ thought he was a first round pick. And so that was, he was trying to prove everybody wrong being a second round pick mm-hmm. and the yards after catch and having the hands and just playing the way that he's been able to play. That didn't really surprise him. And this is a reporter that covered him all 4 years that he was at Ole Miss.
Yeah. And check my Twitter page, man. You'll see receipts on there from February.
Yeah. Right,
about him running through contact. There are clips of him at Ole Miss. I mean, there's stuff out there. So definitely know that he is a guy that has come in and still exceeded my expectations and those of many others. But real quick, before we go to the break, I want to also go over this zero blitz that this Patriots team is able to bring. And that's something that is going to be huge for the Titans to be aware of, and they're going to have to figure out ways to go against that. And just to talk some scheme briefly, you'll see them overload a lot of times. So basically what the overload is where you're trying to get more pass rushers than there are pass protectors. So I saw in a few games where they would use Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, and what was the other? I forget, 54 is Hightower. They would use those guys together on one side and send all of them in addition to Lawrence Guy or whoever it is that's out there. So you have to be able to make sure that you get the ball out of your hands. The receiver has to read hot. So when I say read hot, you have to basically replace where the blitz came from. You have to make sure you do that. So that's a key thing to watch out for. The other thing to watch out for is what you call an amoebia blitz. And on the amoebia, or not amoebia blitz, but amoebia pass rush. And that's when you have all the guys up front stand up. You don't know who's coming, who's dropping back into coverage. That could lead to an interception. So there are some things to be very cautious of. There's going to be cat and mouse on offense and defense. I'm looking forward to the chess match.
Yeah, so am I. And when we come back, we have to address the GOAT, Tom Brady. And you'll hear from Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease. We do that next here on Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Got a big one coming up tomorrow night in Foxborough. Teron is hyped. He's ready to play. I mean, hey, TD, you know the Patriots could use some help at receiver, and I know that's your position. So maybe you should give Bill Belichick a call real quick and suit up.
I don't have a snap left in my body.
But we're back here as we now look at the guy that would be throwing to Teron if he decided to play receiver, Tom Brady. The quick passing game that Brady has been known for, how do you stop it if you're the Tennessee Titans?
Well, there are multiple things that you have to do. And one of the things that are imperative is man defense. And it's funny because this is different from when you're facing a Deshaun Watson or a Lamar Jackson, because you could afford to have your back to the quarterback, because if he runs, it's not really a threat. Here's the deal. Man defense, get out there, and I'm talking about get all up in. You know how you have the personal space, right? They teach you in school to always give people their personal space.
Yep. The bubble space is what I call it.
This week, there should be zero personal space tomorrow. I'm talking about Adoree Jackson, Ty Smith, T. Brock, Logan Ryan. They need to be up inside the receiver's jersey with them. They need to cause a lot of chatter at the line of scrimmage, and that will allow the guys up front to get home. So that's the first thing, because when you're facing Brady and this passing game, the quick passing game, it's all about timing. Brady's not throwing to men. He's throwing to spots. So what you have to do is keep your guy from getting to the spot that Brady is expecting them to get to. If they don't get to that spot, Brady gets upset. And that's when he starts cursing people out on the sideline. And you hear the commentators gush and go crazy over how much of a competitor he is. Well, that's what you need to cause to happen. In addition to that, the guys up front, they absolutely, positively have to make sure they're matching hands with Tom Brady. Any quarterback, when they have the ball and they're getting ready to throw it, the left hand comes off, the right hand goes up. That lets you know, trigger, put your hands up to match his hands. That will help clog passing lanes. You saw it in the sack that Wesley Woodyard had last year. He was able to make Brady, Brian Arakpo was able to make Brady tuck the ball back down, and that gave Woodyard an extra bit of time to get home and get to the quarterback. So there are different things that you have to do. I think when you look at this game, you know, your interior guys absolutely are going to have to come with their A game. They have to collapse that pocket. No quarterback likes to have the pocket pushed back into his lap, especially when he's stepping into a throw and trying to go downfield. That being said, Tom Brady is a wonderful player, an amazing player, the best to ever play his position. So there's going to be a lot that this defense has to go against, but we'll have to see what happens.
Let me ask you this, Teron, because
sure.
Tom Brady in his career, I mean, he's had several offensive coordinators, names that we know. I mean, Bill O'Brien was one of them, mm-hmm. Charlie Weiss, you know, to name a few. But why has he been so successful with Josh McDaniels? Why has that worked so well in both stints that McDaniels was there?
Well, I think there's different things. I mean, A, the guy wasn't throwing to David Givens and Deion Brandt. Like, he has better players, when he and McDaniels were first together. Today, you know, this day and age now is a little bit different. But here's the thing, man. It's not rocket science, right? You know, if I have a fast car that's capable of driving fast, you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to drive it fast. You have to just allow what you have to do what it does. I mean, that's really the bottom line. I'm not saying it's easy to be an offensive coordinator for Tom Brady, but what I am saying is when you have a guy like that, just do things that he does best. Call plays that focus on what he does best, and he'll make it happen.
Yeah, and I think when those two get mad at each other and they're having a screaming match, I mean that doesn't bode well for the other team, because when they're both pissed off for greatness, it snowballs from there.
Yeah, it's really interesting how that works, you know. And I tell you, few defensive coordinators have gotten there are only a few in this league, right, that have gotten a hands-on, first up close, first person look at Tom Brady day in and day out. But Dean Pease is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had his weekly presser, he was very, very complimentary of Tom Brady. I thought it was interesting, some of the things that he said. So let's check out what Dean Pease had to say about Brady.
I would never doubt this guy. I'm telling you, I'd never doubt him. He's one of the most competitive people I've ever been around. He gives you this little boyish charm look and stuff on TV and all that kind of stuff. That's so far from what he is as a competitor on the field. I mean, I used to watch him and Vrabel and Brewski and those guys go at it during practice, and I mean, he didn't back down. You know, Vrabel and Brewski and Willie and those guys used to get after a lot of guys, and they kind of, you know, back off a little bit. Not 12. I mean, he's a competitive guy, studies everything. I mean, he's everything you want in a football player.
That is Coach Dean Pease on Tom Brady, somebody that he knows quite well from their time together with the New England Patriots. Look, I think the big thing with Brady in his entire career is where he was drafted. I mean, he fell. He tumbled. And he proved everybody wrong. He had that chip on his shoulder. He got an opportunity when Drew Bledsoe got hurt, and he never gave the job back.
Mm-mm.
And he has played like that his entire career. He hasn't played like this guy that feels that everything should be handed to him because he's so great. Look, he knows he's the GOAT. He knows he's the best that there ever was. But he still plays like that guy that got passed over and over and over again in the draft.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's a bad man. You know, that's really what it boils down to.
Pick 199, Teron. And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer that truly is the greatest to play his position.
Yeah. I mean, what more can you say about him, you know? And I tell you, this is a week, you know, you can't be afraid. And that's something that Dean Pease also said. You cannot be afraid to try things against Brady, right? That being said, yeah. You can't be afraid to disguise coverage. I saw in training camp, there are multiple times where Brady, he was surgical back there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was cutting them all up. But then there were other times where Brady was cutting up his teammates because he was confused on some of the defenses that the Titans were given. You know, being able to disguise stuff, rolling from cover one to cover two and vice versa and those type of things. And I actually drew a play up on Twitter, you know, talking with TD, Whiteboard Edition. We did that. And one of the guys that was the key to making that happen was Logan Ryan and blitzing Logan Ryan off the edge. And I tell you what, Logan Ryan, you got to shout him out too, right? Because he went four for four, three fouls, four and a half sacks, four INTs, four forced fumbles. Since the year 2000, only two other guys did that, Thomas Davis and Adrian Wilson. So Logan Ryan is another key to this, but, you know, when you're blitzing him out of the backfield, someone is going to have to pick up the back because he's going to probably be a part of that hot check. So James White out of the backfield, you heard what Mike Reese said about him being actually option number two.
So you think James White is option number two is a weapon? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, as a weapon. Mike Vrabel talked about him. You know, he said his ability to run vertical routes as a running back is rare. Right, as opposed to the Texas routes and, you know, the quick routes out of the backfield. He is a complete pass catcher. I think it was 71 receptions he had this past year. So make no mistake about it, he is a guy that's early in Tom Brady's progression.
Yeah, and I still also, whenever I see Rex Burkhead in the game, I know he's not the same Rex Burkhead, but you still got to respect him, man.
Yeah, you got to respect Rex. You know, I definitely agree with you with that. But then the other thing is when you have an offense that's in this situation, right, this struggle that they find themselves in, what happens? They do everything they can.
Gadget plays,
to
get creative.
Create big plays. Right, so now you have gadget plays. So you got to be wary of Julian Edelman throwing the football, right? You got to be wary of Mohamed Sanu, right? You have to be wary of Elandon Roberts, a linebacker, catching the ball out of the backfield as a fullback. You have to be wary of these things.
A linebacker catching the football for the New England Patriots. Where have I seen that before?
You know, only three guys on the Patriots roster right now have more career touchdown catches from Tom Brady than Mike Vrabel.
That is
something.
You know that? No, I did not.
Coach Vrabel is he was all right.
Hey, I brought this up with Rashawn Evans again this week. We had him on the midday show, and I said, Rashawn, dude, we talked about this last time. When are you going to go to Vrabes and say, hey, give me the ball, put me in on offense, I can get it done? Because I think Rashawn Evans, you throw him out there at fullback when they're on the goal line, that would be fun to see.
Well, they actually used Darren Bates out of the backfield
really?
Before, so yeah.
DJ who pooted, huh?
He went in there easy. That's what he said. Easy.
But look, I agree with you that that's where this offense is. There's some trickeration, as they say. Josh McDaniels knows how to do that. All at the same time, I don't think this Titans defense is intimidated at all. That is one reason why I'm so pumped up for this game.
They shouldn't be intimidated, man. So, yeah, you should be pumped up for it. There's no way that they should be intimidated. I mean, that's not to be expected, and I think they're going to go out and play ball.
When we come back, we'll take a look at Wild Card Weekend as a whole, some of the other matchups, because I'd love to get your thoughts on some of the other games going on this weekend. So we'll do that when we come back. It's Chase and TD Playoff Edition here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's like that. You know it's like that. We're back, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Hey, if you miss anything on the show, rate, subscribe, and review. Just look for Talking with TD in Google Play, the app, the iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. You get this show plus Talking with TD. And as Teron is in Boston right now. So we've talked, obviously, all show long, Teron, about the Titans and Patriots, but I want to get your thoughts on the other matchups from Wild Card Weekend, and I'll start with the other one out of the AFC that will kick off at 3:35 Central Time tomorrow. Buffalo on the road at Houston. I'm intrigued by this one, TD. I'm going to be honest with you, and I think for Bill O'Brien, he can shut some people up with a playoff win.
Bill O'Brien isn't shutting anybody up. Bills are going to go in there and walk the dog on the Texans, man.
Oh,
I firmly believe that. That Bills team, we talk about the Titans being pack and play. They are also, the running game isn't quite as on par. It's not quite on par with the Titans. But look, man, the Bills are going to go in there. They're going to punch that Texans team in the mouth early. Those guys up front are absolute dogs. When you talk about Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips. Ed Oliver, who obviously is a guy that Mike Vrabel really liked. I think they go in there and they do the business. I can't wait to watch that matchup between Tre'Davious White and DeAndre Hopkins. Also, Will Fuller is questionable, so that clearly hurts the Texans as well.
So I was kind of easing into it, and my man Teron just comes off the top rope ready to go. I think Buffalo is going to win this game too. I don't know what that does to Bill O'Brien. I don't know if that turns the heat up. I don't think they make a move after Wild Card Weekend, but we've talked to so many people in the last few weeks because the Titans are playing the Texans, and the theme is all the same, that the fan base doesn't really care how successful he's been in the regular season. It's the postseason, and the fact that he's only won one playoff game in his career as the head coach of the Houston Texans. And if what we both think happens this weekend, that continues the trend of getting them to the dance and then getting kicked out. And I think we may have lost Teron for a second. So we'll check that connection. I mean, it's the craziest thing for me to think of a head coach that does so much winning. I think he's had one losing season since he's been the head coach of the Texans, and yet people all want him gone. And it's because it's all about winning championships. It's all about the postseason, and that one playoff win is the one that, you know, keeps coming back to bite him, because they'd get there and then they'd get knocked out. And I know sometimes they had some tough draws, but, you know, this one tomorrow is a winnable game. But I just think Buffalo is going to be the better team. And even though Buffalo has not played as well down the stretch, I still think that they will get the best of Houston at home on the road. And what's crazy is I have, as we'll get through my predictions, I think this could be a good weekend for the road teams. So that's just kind of how I look at it. And are we, Calvin, have any luck with Teron yet?
We're working on it. Something's going on.
Okay. Well, it's never good when something's going on, especially in the middle of a show. So hopefully we can get Teron back and bring him back up, and looks like we do have him. So, Teron, how you doing?
Oh, every day is a good day. But, yeah, that's the thing, man. This, you mentioned Bill O'Brien and these playoff failures. This is a similar situation to Marvin Lewis with the Bengals, where, okay, they got him to a certain point, but
that is a great comparison.
They go to the playoffs, and they continue to lose. And at some point, it's like, okay, are you going to get on this side of the fence or that side of the fence? When are you going to push us over the top? We want to get deep in the playoffs. And I think that's what ownership is thinking. So, look, man, I think the Bills could do some things in there that could actually end up making things pretty bad for Bill O'Brien.
What would be crazy is this, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if it did, if the Bills win and they end up firing Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniels takes a Cleveland job, and then O'Brien goes back to New England as the OC.
This is how the NFL works, I know, man. So it definitely wouldn't surprise me.
All right, let's move to Sunday. Obviously, the Titans have the nightcap on Saturday against the Patriots. But on Sunday, 12:05 Central Time kickoff at the Superdome in New Orleans, Minnesota will take on the Saints. The Saints are a 7.5-point favorite the last time I looked in this one. And I like Minnesota. I like Mike Zimmer. I like Kirk Cousins. I don't think they come out of there with a win.
Well, I'll agree with you in liking Minnesota, liking Mike Zimmer, but you're not going to have me sit on here and say I like Kirk Cousins. Uh-uh. not in a pressure situation. I'm sorry. I won't do that. And here's the thing, man. This New Orleans team, this Saints team is on a mission.
Oh, yeah.
And this – look, man, Michael Thomas, Drew Brees, those guys – I'm going with the Saints, long story short.
They're still hot from last season and how last season ended. And they have played with that chip on their shoulder all year long, even when Drew Brees was out with injury. Teddy Bridgewater comes in and keeps it afloat and gets the job done. I mean, this is a talented, talented football team. And I know there are two teams that everybody's looking at out west in the NFC, but New Orleans is going to have something to say about it before it's all said and done.
No doubt about it, man. The Saints, they win this game.
Before I move to the next one, do you think Green Bay is overrated where they are as the second seed? They don't scare me as much.
I don't think they're overrated, but here's the thing. At any moment, Aaron Rodgers could just poof, go right. In fuego. And if he's able to do that with that defense behind him, I see bad things, man. You know what I mean? It's not a good situation for whoever they're facing.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But it just I haven't seen it yet. And so and I'm not ruling it out because he's still Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know. I think the NFC is so loaded with these playoff matchups. So Sunday afternoon, 3:40 Central Time. The Seattle Seahawks that were in a dogfight last week against the San Francisco 49ers for that division. They go on the road to take on the Philadelphia Eagles that win the worst division in the NFL, the NFC East. Philly hosting a playoff game against Seattle.
Man, the link is going to be cooking. I'll say that, but I just think the Seahawks have too much, man. I believe in Russ, man. It's crazy watching some of these guys on TV say that Russell Wilson still has something to prove. I mean, daggone. Well, when can you just give this guy his credit and say he's a premier quarterback? Yeah. That's really the bottom line. But I like little – look, this is the thing. I'll tell you a matchup that's going to give the Eagles all kinds of problems. It's Tyler Lockett. Lining up on the outside, they're going to pop a couple slants, a couple quick passing routes, and then they're going to hit that woo-woo double move. And I'm telling you, these corners, I remember being in Philly every single week, every Wednesday. Hey, Jay Mills, what's up, man? Listen, you know, is this a week where you're going to take it easy on the double move? Or are you, yeah, TD, man, look, man, I'm going to play that. I'm going to be ready for it. And then on Sunday, guess what happens? Woo-woo. Touchdown, right? So I say all that to say Tyler Lockett on the double move, and he's a supreme route runner. I think that's going to be an opportunity. I think it's going to lead to a big play, a long touchdown by Tyler Lockett. Seahawks are winning this game.
Yeah, I agree. Seahawks will take it. And, yep, there it is. Beast mode engaged. I think Marshawn Lynch, he's not the offense anymore. He's played one game last week, but I'm going to tell you, man, he still looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and this is yet another week for him to be, you know, working to get back in the mix. So I expect him to be better than he was last week.
So by my count, you and I seem to well, it'd be agreeing on things, and we'll leave the Titans and Patriots. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But of the three games we just discussed, Buffalo, that's the road team. Seattle, that's a road team. New Orleans, in my mind, of those three, the only home team that wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. Yeah, that Superdome is going to be rocking too, man.
Yeah.
I'd love to be in that stadium for that game.
Yeah, so would I. So it's going to be a fun – I really like the matchups this weekend. Going to be a fun wild card weekend. And it all, of course, gets started tomorrow with Buffalo and Houston. But then the game we've been talking about, the Titans and the Patriots. And I know, Calvin, you and Elijah will have the kickoff starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow.
All the way until 2.
All the way until 2. Mm. And that leads into a special edition of Jared and the GM. And then – followed by the pregame show, all that over at Boomba's in East Nashville. So gonna be cool. But you and Elijah will get things started at 11. When we come back, we end the show like we always do, the Mac Daddy of the Week, and we also take a look at the players to watch on both offense and defense for the Patriots and Titans. And Teron and I will make our predictions on this game as well. We do that next. It's Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Who's the Mac Daddy?
Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy. You tell the mic is there, but I'm me, Mac Daddy.
We're back, Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Teron Davenport here on a Friday night. We do it every Friday night from 6 to 8. And we do this every week. Final week of the regular season. The Titans had to do one thing. They had to win. Win, and you're in. And that's exactly what they did. So for me to pick the Mac Daddy, Teron, I got to be honest with you, it was really hard for me to do that this week. Let's see. Hit it, Calvin. There we go. Yeah, fire that truck up. 32 carries, 211 yards, 3 touchdowns for all-pro running back Derrick Henry.
Hey, man, that didn't sound like the tuned-up version of the F-150, but I'll take it, man.
Yeah, look, you know, we're adding a little ear candy here on the show.
Hey, look, man, it's all good, man. The more, the merrier.
I thought you would appreciate that. Look, there's no other – I mean, you could give it to Arthur Smith because I love the offensive scheme that he ran. I love the fact that he put Marcus Mariota in. Even though 24 yards, I think, didn't that take away an incentive from Ryan Tannehill?
Woo. Yeah. Hey, this joker made $2 million in incentives, though.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? But, yeah, you're right. That he fell short. 8 yards short of 250K.
Yeah. All right, let's start with the players that we're watching. We'll do it on the offensive side of the ball with the Tennessee Titans. Teron, lead us off. Who do you like?
Yeah, all right, listen. This game, this league is all about matchups. And we talked about A.J. Brown against Gilmore. We talked about J.C. Jackson and Corey Davis. But what we didn't talk about is the matchup that I think heavily favors the Titans. And that's Jonnu Smith against Patrick Chung. Look it up. Tight ends have consistently done well against the Patriots. Jonnu Smith, you ever see those movies where a hostage is trying to flee the camp?
Yeah.
That's how Jonnu Smith runs when he gets the football in his hands. So I believe that you're going to get a long play out of him, an explosive, because he's going to catch the ball, break some tackles, and pull away from Patrick Chung. And he's my player to watch. I think that's the matchup. And the whole process of trying to take away something, I think he is the guy that they'll be able to go to. Ryan Tannehill always targets him as well.
You know what? I like that. I like that matchup. And we haven't talked about Jonnu Smith tonight at all, but I really think that's a good choice. Mine, we have talked about. It's Corey Davis. I think when you have a situation like the Titans are in where you have the big three and you have A.J. Brown and you're putting him up against the best corner in the league, you have Derrick Henry, you're still going to have a situation where somebody is going to have to step up. And while Jonnu Smith can be in that category, I think Corey Davis is one of those. And look, he's been good against the Patriots. I can even remember the playoff game that they lost. He had a big game against them. So he knows how to match up against New England. I'm watching Corey Davis.
Hey, wide receiver 1A. Mm-hmm. I think he could definitely step up. Good one there.
All right. How about the Patriots?
Okay, so goes back to the matchups, right? I said I'm a guy that focuses on matchups. James White, I think, is the guy to watch. he is the second receiver as far as the options are concerned. I think they're going to try to find ways to take advantage of him and his pass catching ability. So for me, you know, Jayon Brown, you're the guy that's going to mostly be assigned to watch him. So James White, he's my guy to watch on the Patriots.
Well, you know, I was looking at the offense and I saw yours of James White, and I really, really like that. Mine for me, I mean, it's in a receiving core that he's just not that comfortable with. It's Julian Edelman, old reliable. And as we talked about earlier with the gadget plays, I mean, Julian Edelman can throw the ball too. So you have to watch out for his versatility. And I know he's banged up and he's not going to be 100%. He's listed as questionable. I fully expect him to play, so I'm watching 11.
Yeah, and Julian Edelman, he's a tough little rascal too, so he'll play. I don't think there's any question about that. Good pick there. Defensively for the Titans, I'm going to let you go first. Who you got?
Okay, you're going to let me go. Well, it's going to be somebody that we have talked about a lot on this show, pass rush, Harold Landry. Landry has to try and get to Tom Brady, which is not easy to do because Tom Brady does not like to get hit, and he has a pocket awareness that has made him be able to play a long, long career. But I'm watching Landry.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'll say don't be surprised if you see Landry make a big play, dropping back into coverage. Dropping back into the passing lane. You know the Patriots like to run those shallow crossers. Don't be surprised if he shows blitz or shows rush and drops back and makes a big play. Don't be surprised by that. However, for me, I'm going with Jarrell Casey, and this is one guy on the Titans that I know Bill Belichick is very fond of because he went up to him after the playoff game, and on the mic'd up version, you heard him say some very complimentary words of Jarrell Casey. So yeah, for me, I'm going to go with Casey, and the reason why is I think he's going to be a guy that will line up at that four technique, right, and rush the passer from the interior. I think he'll also play on the outside. And don't be surprised if you see him looping in. They play games with he and Landry, or he and Derek Roberson. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. I think he's the guy. I know that he is starving to avenge the loss because this was something that was on his mind on Sunday after the game when I spoke to him. So Jarrell Casey, he's my defensive player to watch.
All right. Now, how about on the Patriots side? You want me to take it again or you go?
Yeah, go ahead. You shoot. Shoot your shot.
It's Stephon Gilmore because I want to see what that matchup looks like against A.J. Brown. I mean, because I think that's where he's going to be. I think they're going to have him against A.J. Brown. And you played the breakdown from talking with TD earlier, which got me even more fired up to hear A.J. Brown on how – he would go up against somebody like Stephon Gilmore. I'm looking forward to watching the matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that's primetime TV right there, right? That should be pay-per-view, you know what I mean? That's pay-per-view quality. So you won't get a disagreement from me there. But I say from my perspective, in my opinion, right, another matchup to watch or another guy to watch is Kyle Van Noy. And you heard Mike Reese talk about how he's a catalyst for the defense. They use him a lot in those overloads. He plays both sides, and he's someone that I think they have to keep from making a big play. If they could keep him from making a big play, that would definitely help their chances. Van Noy is a baller. I have liked him since his days at BYU. So he's my selection as the Patriots player to watch.
All right, now that gets us to the point that we've been waiting for. This is a big moment for Mike Vrabel. It's his first playoff game as a head coach. He's done it as a player. He's done it as a coordinator or an assistant. Now he's the head man, and he's going into a place that he knows very, very well, Gillette Stadium in New England, in Foxborough, and taking on the team that he won 3 Super Bowls as a player with. I know this is a big moment for him. It's a big moment for the Titans because this, when you make changes like they did 2 years ago, after Mike Mularkey and the Titans go into Kansas City, win that game, and then they fall to the Patriots, you still make changes. You have to improve. You have to keep getting better. And I think that this team has, because as I've said, the record of 9-7, there's an asterisk by it because you have to look at the record of 7-3 because that's what this team did once Ryan Tannehill took over as the starting quarterback. So we all know what is on the line this weekend. We know that the Patriots deserve all the respect in the world for everything that Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and everyone else in that organization has accomplished. Everybody knows that. With all that said, I love the way the Titans are playing. I think that they have found their stride. They've found their big three on offense with Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and not to mention the other cast members that are pretty good as well. The defense gets a Dory Jackson back, which I think is big for them. And while they have had some injuries, they continue to play at a high level. Teron, I am picking the Tennessee Titans to win this game. I think it's a close one, 27-24, but the Titans get it done.
So you're saying Greg Joseph makes the difference, huh?
We haven't talked about that, but yep, I think the kicking comes into play.
Yeah, Look, we have to pick the Titans, right? Jarrett Stillman picked the Titans to win this game. So I was going to pick them anyway. 24-21, I think it's a three-point difference. I think the Titans take a lead in the third quarter, and they sit on that by keep loading and loading and loading. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Loading the wagon and feeding Derrick Henry late in the game. And they make their way after the game. Mike Vrabel says, we're on to Baltimore.
He'll get asked. You guys will ask him in the post-game press conference about beating the Patriots and all that. And you'll get, you know, we're focused on the Ravens. Coach, the game was 5 minutes ago. Yeah, we're focused on the Ravens. But that's how he rolls. Calvin, what about you? You got a prediction?
This game has been on my mind for so long now because I really struggle to figure out what the Patriots are. That said, everyone's been talking about the dynasty slipping with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Brady being older and all that, but I really still struggle, like we talked about earlier, Bill Belichick scheming up defenses that can shut down a lot of teams when it matters most. So I'm going to go Patriots like 23-20, but I mean, I am almost 50-50 on this.
Hey, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
At first, I went Patriots 17-14. Then I just said, you know what? I'm not mad at you.
When I found out what the matchup was going to be, and we knew before the game, we knew that if the Titans won, they would be going to Foxborough because the Patriots lost to the Dolphins and the Chiefs won. So a lot of things changed. And so we knew who the Titans matchup was going to be against. When the Titans won, I was driving back from Indianapolis, and I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I'm going, you know what? The more I think about this, the more I just feel like this is the Titans' time. And they'll draw Baltimore if they win, and that's not going to be easy at all. We'll talk about that next week if we get that far. But I just feel like this is their week. They're going to get it done and take care of business. So I've been hyped up about it all week, Teron. I know you have. So let's go watch some football tomorrow.
Can't wait.
All right, Bart. Enjoy your night in Boston. What's on the agenda? Is it dinner time?
Hey, listen, man. I went to Cheers, the Cheers bar, and I had an Old Duels.
Nice.
I'm next going to, I think it's Hard Rock, man. I always, every city I go to, I make sure I bring my wife back a pin from Hard Rock. So I'm going to go to Hard Rock. I'm having me a sandwich and some fries and Diet Coke and, take it on in after that.
Sounds like a good night. Hey, appreciate it as always. We'll see you when you get back. Enjoy the game. And for Calvin Smith, Teron Davenport, I am Chase McCabe. Stick around, though. Talking with TD, more TD. That is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.